This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Now then, today, the fourth message in the series from the Gospel of Mark, a series called What Jesus Did, He Does. I need to know what Jesus did. So do you. Why? Because we need to know what he can do in our lives today in 2014. This week again, Jesus dealing with the demonic. I want you to notice how that Jesus is declared to be the Son of God by none other than the demons themselves, who Jesus expels from a man who's living in a cemetery. What a powerful story that will speak to you all this week. God bless you. A minister friend of mine from Kentucky told me that one day he left the office, picked up a paper, and he said he went to the typical Bob Evans, Cracker Barrel, Frisch's, whatever it was, a typical family restaurant to buy some lunch. Takes his paper and sits down at a booth in a typical restaurant configuration where there's tables right next to you, but there's a separation, a visual barrier of perhaps one of those opaque glasses or railings or something. He said he couldn't see the people next to him, at the table next to him, even though he could hear them just as plain as day. Their voices carried over the barrier, etc. But he had no idea who they were. He's reading the paper, he's listening to the conversation, and he realizes, and this has happened to me many times, he hears a conversation about church. And I've heard that many times, people talking about what's going on at their church. Sometimes you listen, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you hear, sometimes you don't. And he's listening to the conversation, and it's getting deeper and deeper. And all of a sudden, he realizes they're talking about the church where he's the minister. So he said, oh, this is interesting. He didn't stick his head over the barrier. He just listened. Then they started talking about his preaching. And one of them said his jokes were lame, which I could relate to. I took it personally when I heard that, because I'm as a person who tells lame jokes, that offended me too. But he said they talked about his jokes. One of the women said he was boring most of the time, and another one said it's hard to follow him, and so forth and so on. And he's listening to this whole conversation, going in there thinking it's about somebody else, and then coming to the realization about 10 minutes in that this is about me. Today, I'm going to share a passage of Scripture with you that your first reading of the passage, you're going to say, that's about other people. And about 5 or 10 minutes into this message, you're going to realize this is about you. It's about me. We're going to study a passage today in the Gospel of Mark that's 20 verses long. I honestly believe this, I really mean this, that I could read these 20 verses, close the Bible, and say, if you need Christ, you come today. It's that powerful. It's the most dramatic episode in the life of Christ in terms of his encounters with the demonic. Encountering a man who's not possessed by a demon, but by many demons. Demons that were out to destroy him physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. And there's some lessons for you and for me, and I'll follow along as I read. Mark 5:1, they, meaning Jesus and the disciples, went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Listen how sad this is. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Mark that in your Bible, those of you that do. Cut himself with stones. We're going to talk about that.
Well, we'll continue this dramatic story from Mark 5 tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
Mark 5:1, they, meaning Jesus and the disciples, went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Listen to how sad this is. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Mark that in your Bible, those of you that do. Cut himself with stones. We're going to talk about that. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, this is so powerful, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. You believe that? They're afraid of a man who's fully clothed and sitting there in his right mind. They're afraid of him. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. They were worried about economics. "We want this guy out of here." As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, which is a term that means 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. All the people were amazed. Several years ago, I was talking to a man in my office about the claims of Christ on his life. And really, I was just trying to talk him, not into something, but sharing with him the gospel. And I said, "You really need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life." I'll never forget what he said. He said, "I don't need Jesus and Christianity dominating my life. I got enough problems. I don't need Jesus and Christianity dominating my life." And what I said, I think, offended him, but here's what I said without even thinking. I said, "Jesus isn't into domination. He's into deliverance. You need to be delivered. You don't need to be dominated. You need to be delivered." And he had nothing to say. He had nothing to say to that. Jesus is not into domination. He's into deliverance. And there's a man here today who needs to be delivered by the power of God. And there's a woman here today, there's a young person perhaps, who needs to be delivered. You don't need to be dominated, you need to be delivered, because that's what the business that Jesus is in.
Well, of all the stories about Jesus dealing with the demonic, this story has to be hands down the most dramatic, most exciting, and most powerful in the way it describes what Jesus did for someone. That's the theme of this series, What Jesus Did, He Does. Crosshope.org is our website. That's crosshope.org. Listen tomorrow as this message continues. Now then, today, part three of the message we began on Monday, of the fourth message in the series, What Jesus Did, He Does, the healing of the demon-possessed man in Mark 5.
We're going to do a little verse by verse for a few minutes. Can't cover all the verses, but I want to pick it up in verse 2. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore. Verse 4, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Let's stop right there. Here's a man who's demon-possessed who lives in a cemetery. If you can believe this, graves were carved out of the side of a mountain or a hillside into the rock. It's very possible that this man literally lived in a grave before it was put to use by a family. They'd carved out a grave perhaps for dad or mom, and it was just sitting there empty waiting for that death to happen, and he's living in a grave.
talk about symbolism, living in a grave. Dr. Luke the doctor, says, adds a detail that Mark doesn't tell us. Luke says the man's naked, which adds to the sadness of the situation. He's naked, he's screaming, he's cutting himself with stones. He's running around like a crazy person would be the best way to put it. No one could subdue him. There were no chains that would hold him. Look at verse 5. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. That's interesting. Here's what's interesting. I told Annie this yesterday. I was talking about the commentaries. I have several commentaries that go back to the early 1900s. Two of them said nothing about verse 5 in terms of the man cutting himself with stones. I found that intriguing. Do you know why I find it intriguing? Because it's something that goes on all the time in our culture today. It's called SI, self-injury. Young people, even some adults, cutting themselves with razor blades. And please listen carefully, because I don't want anybody quoting me wrongly after this service. I don't believe that just because somebody cuts themselves, that means they're demon-possessed. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is this. Isn't it interesting that one of the manifestations of demonic possession in the Gospel of Mark is the man cut himself with stones? Dr. Darcy Linus writes about why do people cut themselves today. She says it's hard to understand why people cut themselves on purpose. Cutting is a way that some people try to cope with the pain of strong emotions, intense pressure, or upsetting relationship problems. They may be dealing with feelings that seem too difficult to bear or bad situations they think can't change. Some people cut themselves because they feel desperate for relief from those bad feelings. They may want to express strong feelings of rage, sorrow, rejection, desperation, longing, or emptiness. All of that to say, isn't it interesting that this man was trying to kill himself, really, I think. It's at this point in the message that I want you to take out paper and pen, because I want to give you the five works of Satan. I've given this before 2 or 3 years ago. I tried to think one time, what is it that Satan does? There's five works that he does, and the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Here's what I think they are. I'm not the expert, but here's what I'm going to give you. Number one, physically, he seeks to kill. Secondly, intellectually, he seeks to deceive. Number three, morally, he seeks to seduce. Let's bring up the fourth one. Emotionally, he seeks to destroy. Number five, spiritually, he seeks to defeat.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we'll illuminate those five works of Satan by going into depth about each one. That's tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. Crosshope.org.
It's at this point in the message that I want you to take out paper and pen, because I want to give you the five things, the five works of Satan. I've given this before 2 or 3 years ago. I tried to think one time, what is it that Satan does? There's five works that he does, and the Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Here's what I think they are. I'm not the expert, but here's what I'm going to give you. Number one, physically, he seeks to kill. Did you know the Bible says that Satan is the murderer from the beginning? Anything connected with the taking of innocent life, in my opinion, is connected to Satan. He is the murderer from the beginning. I'm always intrigued by people who think that being into Satanism is exciting. Satan always promises life, but he always delivers death. He always does. He always delivers death. Secondly, intellectually, he seeks to deceive. Jesus would refer to Satan as the father of all lies. I'm not trying to be melodramatic here, but every time you tell a lie, every time I tell a lie, you can trace the DNA of that lie back to the father of all lies, and that is Satan himself. Satan is a deceiver. The Bible says in the Old Testament that Satan beguiled Eve. There's a word that is used there, beguile. It means to deceive with false logic. Have you ever been deceived by somebody's false logic, meaning they told you something? You say, you know, it makes sense what he says. Well, I can't argue with her. It makes sense. And they deceive you with false logic. Satan's been in the business of deceiving people because that's what he does. It's one of the works of Satan. Number three, morally, he seeks to seduce. Now, anytime you mention the word seduction, people always associate it with the sexual realm, which that's a part of it. But you know, people can be seduced by money. Nothing to do with sex. People can be seduced by fame and power, position in life. seduced by a lot of things. And believing in yourself can be a form of seduction, that you have the answers to all the problems in your life. You're the answer. That's seduction, to believe that. It's believing a lie. And the seduction is more than just a sexual thing. We can be seduced by the culture. We can be seduced by education. We can be seduced by a lot of things. And we don't even know it. You know what? You're seduced when you believe a lie. Seduction happens when you believe a lie about yourself or about life or about anything. Let's bring up the fourth one. Emotionally, he seeks to destroy. How does Satan destroy people? He destroys relationships. He destroys marriages. He destroys relationships between a father and son or a father and daughter, a mother and son, a mother and daughter. That's what he does. He's in the business of destroying relationships, and sometimes we don't realize that's why people are destroyed emotionally, is because Satan has been systematically destroying relationships in their lives. Number five, spiritually he seeks to defeat. How does he defeat people? By getting them to give up. I dare say there's people in this room, you've been tempted in the last year to give up spiritually and say, what's the use of this stuff? What's it done for me? What's it given to me? I've just got a lot of grief in my life, and Satan wants to defeat you spiritually by getting you to put up the white flag and say, I give up. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not believing this stuff anymore. I'm not serving this God anymore. Those are the five works of Satan, and Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of Satan. We see this evidenced in what happened.
Well, I'm going to ask you to make every effort to hear tomorrow's program as we come to the conclusion of this message from Mark, the fifth chapter. Probably the most dramatic story ever about demonic possession and how Jesus dealt with it. Why? Because he had the authority and he had the power. Not one or the other. He had both the power and authority to deal with the demonic. Crosshope.org is our website. Crosshope.org.
Dr. David McKenna was the president of Seattle Pacific University. I think I'm saying that right. It's obviously a university in the Seattle area. He talks about this story, makes a comment about the story, but then he applies some of it to his own life as a Christian university president. He said, one of the most pitiful sights in all the world, talking about Mark 5, is a person whose mind is so torn that they worship while cursing. You ever been conflicted and you worship the Lord and yet you go home and you start cursing? Sometimes people confess Christ while blaspheming. I never heard anybody put it that way before. In one moment they're confessing Christ and the next moment they're blaspheming the name that is above every name. He says, if ever a picture of Satan's ultimate motive in possessing a person has been painted, it's this story from Mark 5. Satan is never content until he has destroyed the last vestige of the image of God in the human personality. That's a long sentence. Listen to it again. Satan is never content until he has destroyed the last vestige of the image of God in the human personality. Can you imagine how that man's life was destroyed emotionally, physically, and spiritually? And you know the most beautiful verse in this passage is that he was sitting fully clothed and in his right mind. That's what Jesus Christ does to people. Some of you are now in your right mind about morality. You used to think one way, but now you're in your right mind. And I don't say that arrogantly or presumptuously. I'm talking about in the truest sense of the word. Some people intellectually can feel like they have all the answers to life, and now they're in their right mind, and they know they're not the answer, but Jesus is. That's being in your right mind. My imagination visualizes a similar scene for the miracle man of Mark 5. Only God could tame his wild nature, and only the healing of Christ could bring him the peace that he needed. No wonder then that he becomes a one-man witness in the 10 cities of Decapolis, telling what Jesus has done for him. No wonder that everyone marvels. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has tamed the wildest of human nature. Here it is in a nutshell. If Jesus Christ can deliver a man who has what's called legion, which, by the way, a legion was 6,000 Roman soldiers. It was 5,800 infantry troops and 200 cavalry was a legion. And that was the description of the demonic activity going on in that man's life. If Jesus can deliver a man from that, why can't he work in your life? Why won't you let him work in your life? This is all about not being dominated by the power of God. It's being delivered by the power of God, and there's a difference. Most people in this room need deliverance sooner or later. You do, and so do I. We need to be delivered by the power of God. What Jesus did, he does. What did he do? He delivered a man from the bonds of Satan. He can deliver people in this room today. Why? He's got the power, and he has the authority. He always has, always will be. Let's pray together.
Well, from time to time on Fridays, those of you that are regular listeners know we like to share some notes or a letter from a listener. This is from a woman by the name of Angela. I don't know what town she writes from, but she says, "Thank you so much for your valuable radio ministry. I travel to work early each day, and I use the time to quietly reflect and prepare for my day. My travel time gives me the opportunity to listen to Crosshope. Your ministry is focused, relevant, and making a wonderful difference in my life." That's a blessing to us to hear that. I hope that it's a blessing to you and that the message today from Mark 5 will speak to your life in a powerful way. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message, including today's. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.